Leroy, let's go. Acts 10, verse 1.
But at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing.
Okay, let's stop there. God-fearing in the early church is kind of a little cold word for Gentile. They were not Jews. Cornelius was not a Jew. Didn't know a whole lot about Christ. He was, of course, a Roman soldier, a centurion. Means he was a very battle experience. But somewhere along the way, he started believing that there was a God. And he set up services in his home, and from all accounts, his family and some of his soldiers kind of believe, but he does not have a real true grasp of everything, but he does realize there's a God, and he does worship a God. So we find him about 3 o'clock in the afternoon having a prayer service, and so let's pick up.
When he gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly.
Okay. By the way, kind of interesting, what's his trademark of being a God-fearer or a follower of God? Yeah. This goes right back to what Jesus says in the New Testament. If you love me, look at what the things that you will do. So Cornelius had this trait, and he shared with others. Certainly not normally a thing a hard Roman centurion would ever consider doing. But he gave and he prayed. Two very important characteristics of people that are looking to follow God.
Well, one day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Well, Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. Well, the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea."
Okay. Now, from this short verses, what information do you gather in this story about God? Because remember, the story is always about God.
Well, what first one I get is that God doesn't really search out for us, but when we search for God, He will find us. And that's
okay.
What Cornelius was doing. He was searching.
Yep. Cornelius is a seeker. A seeker of truth, absolutely. So that's one very important. What else?
God heard his prayer.
Pardon?
You're asking about God. And
yes.
God heard his prayer.
God heard his prayer.
And
he also recognized, he also recognized that he cared for his brothers, because that was recognized by the angels. What else do we find out about God in these few verses?
That he had a purpose for him.
Okay, absolutely. What else?
He connected him to people. I mean, you think about it, he put him together with someone that would help him to grow.
Absolutely. Where there is a seeker, God will put him with somebody that has the truth. Now, we'll come back to that word truth in just a second. Now, here's a question that's interesting, because I only ask interesting questions. You all know that by now. Why didn't God choose an angel to explain this situation to Cornelius? Certainly could have.
I think it would be a blessing for Peter to have that experience.
Absolutely. Okay.
It's also good for Cornelius to have a respectful inner relationship with a Jew.
Okay.
hear God's mouth, hands, and feet.
What's that, Eloise?
We are, in a sense, God's mouth on earth if we allow Him to work through it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're the one. I mean, we're His hands, His feet, His mouth, His eyes, ears on earth.
Absolutely.
Another thing was that He had received instructions and He followed up, was obedient to the instructions and did what
Okay. Any other thoughts? All these are absolutely good.
Correct. Quite the learning process for both parties, for Cornelius and for Peter.
Yeah, certainly is in this story. It's a privilege that God allows us to be the witnesses. Number one, the angels and the rest of the universe have not committed sin, have not fallen, and in a way cannot relate. In fact, one of the things that we're told that we will do for eternity is that we will go to the unfallen worlds and answer all their questions that they have about what was it like, what was it like to accept Christ, that we will become teachers because they cannot relate to that. And so God has given us the privilege of being the witnesses. Now, there is a principle here. Where there is a seeker, God will always send someone that has the truth. Now, the main question is the truth about what?
About God.
So when an Ethiopian is in the desert reading Isaiah 53, 8, who's God going to send? He's going to send somebody to help him explain that. So here we have Cornelius, a follower, doesn't have everything together. We'll see that in just a minute when Peter begins to talk to him. But he had the one trait that God looks for, and that is seeking truth.
Willingness
to listen. So, he also recognized that this was the Lord. You know, we go back to the story of Abraham. Abraham. You know, he recognized that voice of God. So, Cornelius had that relationship, even though he was a little scared, certainly would be scared. But he recognized the Lord, because he immediately said, "What do you want, Lord?" So, any comments?
What humanity can accomplish, divinity is not summoned to do. And as you say, it's a privilege.
No, it is.
Because share the gospel.
You know, Christ does not need it. He said, if we don't do it, the rocks and the mountains can cry out. So it is a privilege that we have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel.
You know, related to this, why the angel didn't do that work? Same as Christ became a man.
Mm-hmm.
So we could.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what it took. Right. Very good. All right.
Well, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened, and he sent them to Joppa.
Okay, now I missed one thing I wanted to talk on. Let's go back. One other thing about God. Read the instruction that the angel told Cornelius. It's up a couple of verses where Peter was.
He sent men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea.
Okay. Do you see how God relates to everybody as individuals? He knew Peter. He knew his surname. He knew the loser in the Jewish eyes that he was living with. And he gave his address. So this gives us all hope and understanding that God knows us as individuals. Go see Jim Hummel over in Fort Worth at 1112 Dalworth Garden Street, or whatever that address is. God knows us as individuals. He knows all about us. So He was able to tell Cornelius exactly where Simon Peter lived. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's important because there's a bunch of Simons in those days.
Yeah.
It was a common name.
Yep.
And he could have picked just any Simon, but he specified quickly Simon and where he was.
God knows us. Knows all about us, knows where we live, what we're doing. He knows us. So there's comfort in that verse. So immediately, notice Cornelius gets two people he likes and a soldier he trusts, and he immediately sends them over to Joppa. Now Joppa is about 30 to 40 miles away, so we'd say it's a couple of days' journey. So off they go. So God has appeared to Cornelius. Says, I recognize the good works that you do because you truly do care for your brother. And I recognize and hear your prayers. Now I'm going to take you to the next step. And I want you to go over to see Simon Peter. Wouldn't you feel good if you knew God would direct you, people, to you? To take the next step in their Christian life.
Maybe he does.
Yeah, I
I think absolutely he does.
He does.
You better believe he does. Sometimes it's not quite as dramatic, but we don't run across people. We don't sit and talk and have answers by accident. But you must have a message. Because sometimes God in His good grace bypasses you. Because perhaps the message you have isn't the right one. Okay. All right, let's go to Peter.
Well, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals.
All right, let's stop there for a second. It was not uncommon in those days that people would go up on the rooftops because it was one of the few places that you could be alone. So Peter goes up at noon. And he's up there. Probably could oversee the city. Could see the sea. Remember, he lived right by the sea. So it was probably very peaceful for him. Meditating, praying, looking over the city. It would seem very reasonable. This is what he's doing. Gets a little hungry. It is noontime. All of a sudden, he falls into a trance, has a vision, a dream, whatever word you want to use. And here he sees, like a sheet, four corners, lifted down, and it has all kinds of animals. Wild beasts, good stuff, bad stuff, it's full.
It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat."
Okay. Now, what do you think goes through Peter's mind? Okay. No. Well, no. That's good. What else do you think goes through his mind?
What does it mean? Why did they get this dream?
Okay. He's hungry. What else do you think goes through his mind?
Is this coming from the Lord?
What did you say, Peggy?
Yeah,
absolutely. Is this from God? What God trying to tell me? Is this a test? I mean, we don't know. A lot of things going. Because we're going to see in just a few verses that he was very perplexed. Who wouldn't be? He's a Jew. Jew not only did not eat that stuff, they didn't even touch it. So remember the guy he's living with, Simon, he's an outcast because he even touches the skins of bad animals and all of that. So here he goes. All right.
Is Simon the Tanner Jewish or is he a Gentile?
Well, surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean.
Pass the test!
The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.
Okay, now, as good Seventh-day Adventist, how is this text used a lot of times? Against us.
Yeah, against us.
Yeah.
If you pray over your food, it's okay to eat it.
This, you know. So this is why we always say you have to read everything in context. That's why you have to know what's going on before, what's going on during, and what happens afterwards. And when you read in context, there's no way in the world that you can get that this is an issue on what to eat and not to eat. Within the context, it fails miserably. It can only mean one thing. But, you know, that's what happens when you take a verse here and a verse there and try to put together a picture. This isn't talking about food at all. Okay?
Well, this happened three times. And immediately, the sheep was taken back to heaven.
Okay.
Well, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision...
Okay, now, word wondering, what do you have?
Perplexed.
Perplexed? Yeah. This is I looked this one up specifically. This is the strongest word in the Greek, meaning you're standing where there's about 10 different roads and you have no earthly idea which road to even take. So he's totally stunned. This isn't, he just kind of sat there and saying, well, I wonder what, I mean, right at this point, he has not connected the dots whatsoever. Because he's totally, he doesn't even know which way to turn. So far the vision does not make sense to him. We assume that he knew that it certainly wasn't about eating because that one he had down pretty good. So anyway, he's mulling through this. Now let's see what happens.
Well, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Well, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them.
Okay. Why didn't God explain all of this to Peter right here at this point?
It's always our own conclusions are more powerful than what somebody tells us.
Yep. Anybody that teaches, anybody that sells, anybody that gives presentations knows that if you come to the conclusion that it's much stronger than one just to tell you this is the conclusion. I teach in selling all the time. If I say it, it could be or it couldn't be. But if you say it, it's a fact. So if I can get, if you in a normal circumstances, you say, I think Hawk is a very good company that I would like to do business with. If you say it, that's the battle. If I say it, doesn't mean a thing. So God doesn't work where He just says, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, let me connect the dots. You don't learn anything. So here He comes and tells Peter, hey, there's some men down there. Do what they say and go with them. Because remember, Peter's still wondering, what in the world is this all about? Pardon?
Three people.
Two friends and a soldier. Yeah. Okay. Three's all through the Bible. You know, three times Jesus came back and asked the disciples, "Why don't you kind of wake up and pray with me?" Okay. All right, let's go.
Well, Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" Well, the men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say."
Okay, let's stop there. Now, if you're Peter, or somebody comes to your door and says, "God has directed me here," don't you think that would make an impact on you? Okay.
It has an impact, but I tell you, that is used a lot today in ways that I'm thinking, if God said this, maybe I better rethink my belief in God. I mean, we've had people that, there's one woman who came to our daycare center. She was coming here to go to the seminary, and she wanted a job, and she saw the internet. She said, "God's leading me this." You know, she had a lot of credentials. He said, "Well, we'll keep the position for you." And we muddled through for a couple months. He came, and it was a disaster. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I mean, we never said, "Oh, yeah, we could." It's just that, well, we you know, look like someone who could do the job.
Yeah.
So it's a really tricky thing.
Well, it is, except in this story, there's one big thing about it. What is it?
Peter's been told by God.
Yeah, Peter says, "Knock, knock, knock. I know who's there, Peter."
Yeah.
You're absolutely. Lots of people come along and say, "God sent me." We have to test those. But when God says, "I've just sent somebody at your door," and the doorbell rings, that gives us pretty good evidence.
Yeah,
absolutely. See, I see the beauty of how God works to put things together. I mean, here the men from Cornelius are already on their way, and the next day Peter has his vision. God is working to put things together. All right, so Peter goes to the door. They talk now. What's Peter's attitude up until this vision? What do you think his attitude was about the Gentiles? Pardon?
Yeah, I think he's still confused, but when they come up there, they tell him that there's a man, forget his name, but he's respected by the Jews. Well, immediately Peter said, "Whoa, he's a Gentile."
Yeah.
Well, I don't see that he would have held the Gentiles any more contaminated than Simon the Tanner.
Yeah, well, he's moving, but remember, all through the early church, they're still only preaching to the Jews. The Samaritans, though they hated them, were still half Jew. So they have not made any moves to go to the Gentiles, except Philip with here, this guy with Simon. So this is absolutely new territory, and Peter, being a strong person, certainly I would uphold the Jewish standards.
So really, we could say that it never dawned on Peter up until this time.
Absolutely.
And that was the point of the vision.
That is the vision. So, because they're still preaching to the Jews, and in their own. We'll see it next Friday night on Acts 11. Notice Peter didn't go get counsel from all the other brethren, because when he comes back, they're mad at him. And we'll see why in just a second. Because there's a certain thing that didn't happen in this great story, and we'll see what he's up against. All right, now here's a clue in the next verse, the change of Peter's heart immediately when God opens up truth to people that are absolutely seeking it.
About being a good Jew, a Jew never entered a Gentile.
Yeah, that's what the next verse is.
Yeah, a Gentile never entered a Jewish home.
Yeah.
Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests.
Yeah. So now we see an immediate change. because this just did not happen.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. It wasn't Peter's house, but he invited him in.
Yeah. He says, might as well invite you, outcast, because I'm living with an outcast. See? So immediately we see the change. This is not what man can do for himself. This is what God does when He reveals things to us.
I think Peter didn't question God, though. He accepted it.
He's starting to connect the dots. See?
Well, you think maybe he was staying at this place because it was a business establishment. He needed a room, so he rented a room for Simon and Anna.
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't going to be a friend to him. He just wanted a room for him.
Could be. Don't know. See, but Pete.
Simon may have been, I mean, he was a Jew. He just wasn't a.
He just wasn't a good Jew. He's a low Jew on the rung of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Jewish. Now, Peter is connecting the dots. He's now beginning to understand what the vision was all about. And so then the men come, he invites some men, and they become his guests. Luke did not throw this verse in by any accident. Because when the Jews read this account, boy, that meant everything to them. Because this was a change. This was as strong a statement made by Peter as Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. Fantastic. It was a strong statement. All right, let's get going. We're going to run out of time. We're not
well, the next day, Peter started out with them. And some of the brothers from Joppa went alone. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends.
Do you see the faith? You know, Cornelius says, God tell me to send over here. Now, he's not waiting for Peter to get there. He's already called all of his friends and relatives and saying he has faith that God is going to work in his life.
Well, as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I'm only a man myself.
Okay. This was absolutely unheard of. A Roman soldier, a battle experienced centurion, a hardened man by trade, would fall in front of a Jew the way that he did. But when God works, things change. And of course, Peter handles it beautifully. Hey, I'm nothing special. I'm just like you. I'm a man. That's why God allows us to witness instead of angels and unfallen people in the universe and all of that is... Well, just push no answer. So he says, I'm just a man. And so that's why no greater witness than man witnessing to man.
Well, talking with him, Peter went out inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for the Jews to associate with Gentiles or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean.
Okay.
So when I was...
Hold on just a second. Do you think those were easy words for Peter?
There he connected with the sheet, I think.
Huh?
There he connected with the sheet.
The vision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why, in all fairness... You can't ever take this talking about what meat to eat or not eat. You have to read it in context. He's connected the dots and he walks in and he says, look, I know you wonder why I'm here because no Jew in his right mind would be here. However, I met God and this is the result of meeting God. By the way, most powerful testimony we can ever give. Okay.
He, yes. In the his previous statement where he says, I am only human, identifying with the Gentiles here.
Yeah.
We're the same.
Yeah. Very excellent point. Yeah. We're on the same level. That's an excellent point. Thanks, Jim. Okay.
So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you sent for me? Well, Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour.
By the way, let's stop there. Do you see the strategy or the positioning that Peter's using in this conversation? First of all, he says, I understand Jews and Gentiles don't mix. Because remember, you know, most of the Gentiles were wondering. But I got a message from... Then he asked an important question. What? He didn't say, now here's what I want to teach you, or this is the thing. He says, what is the reason that I'm here? Very important question.
Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gift to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He's in the guest at the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.
Okay. Notice no recognition of Peter, the great evangelist. We're here to see what God's message is through you. Big difference. Okay.
Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism.
See how he's connecting? It's the way God works. He never comes, throws it on us, lays it out there. He lets us learn it at our own speed, our own way. And so Peter says, now I know what it's all about.
But accepts men from every nation who fear him. And do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
Okay. What's the attribute of God being with Jesus shown here? Was it his preaching? Teaching?
Doing good. Curing all those who were harassed by the devil.
Yeah. There's a common thread that runs through the scriptures is when you know Christ, when you know God, you will treat your brothers and sisters. And over we see that that's the sign. Jesus says, if you by my disciples, you'll keep my commandments. Ten commandments certainly fit into that picture, but it's all of the commandments. And one of the biggest one was to love your brother and your sister. So that's the bottom line. If you know Christ, the way you treat your sister, so we see this. This right here, again, the trademark of Jesus. He went about doing good to whoever he come about.
Well, we are witnesses to everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree.
Now, who killed him?
They.
Jews.
Well,
we and
him. Well, that's a nice theologically. Who physically killed him? Pardon? Roman soldiers. What's Cornelius? Roman soldier. See? But, you're either citizens of this country or you're citizens of heaven. And when you're a son of God, citizen of heaven, now Peter's just telling it the way it is, and Cornelius taking no offense whatsoever. Okay, go ahead.
But God raised him up from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Okay. What do you think of that sermon?
It's a sermon.
Yeah. So, he goes and says, what do you want to hear about? And he says, God has brought you here. And now Peter has all the things he could talk about. All the things he could talk about. But he talked about the only thing that mattered. And that was Jesus Christ. What a lesson for us. Because if we're not careful in our witnessing, we like to immediately get into, I'm right and you're wrong. I have the right information, you have the wrong information. Nowhere do we see in Jesus' ministry, outside of telling the Pharisees they were a bunch of hypocrites, do we see Jesus preaching or the new church. Here was a man that knew there was a God, but really didn't have any understanding who Jesus Christ was. And Peter could have talked to him about anything, but he went to the heart of the message that was the most important. So he takes him and says, the children of Israel were put on this earth to testify towards the Messiah. We know the centurion was looking for the Messiah. The centurion had figured that out from the Old Testament, that there was a Messiah coming, this desire of ages. But he didn't know particularly how or what. And so here comes Peter and gives him the message that's the most important. The Messiah came. He walked among us. He did good. He undid the wickedness of the devil. He was killed. He rose again. Not everybody saw him. But do you see the personal testimony? I ate. I drank with him. I was with him. Again, most powerful testimony we can ever have is, I've met God and this is how he's changed my life. So he takes him through the story of Christ. Powerful sermon. Something that we all should learn. Evangelistic series should be centered around this sermon. He could have done a good job and said, let me take you through the 2300 days. My favorite topic of all. See, he preached that which mattered. Jesus Christ.
Well, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message.
Now, who's this all?
All the people gathered.
Everybody, all his friends and family.
And what were they?
Gentiles.
Gentiles and Jews. Now let's see if everybody has the picture.
The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles.
Do you see the eliteness that we can have if we're not careful with the way that we feel about other people and other churches and other things? Now here they were, they had enough faith in Peter to go with him. You know, I suppose Peter said, come on, we're going to go see a Gentile. I don't know, maybe he just said, hey, if y'all not doing anything, come along with me. I have a little surprise for you. I don't know. But they're in the house, they hear the sermon, they hear the greatness. They hear of Peter's. He had to tell them of the... Don't you think he told them of the vision? Do you think that would make sense? I mean, if I had a vision and I'm meeting with Roger, I'm going to say, by the way, Roger, let me tell you what I see. But yet they were astonished that the Holy Spirit would come upon the Gentiles and not just them.
The centurion shared his vision first.
Yep.
And then Peter shared his vision. Yep. And the impression I get is that the Holy Spirit also fell on the Jewish believers who were there.
Fell on all of them. See? But they were amazed that it fell on them.
Yeah, that was their revelation, wasn't it? That the Gentiles are now the same as they are.
Yeah. And they were amazed. See? That's why we always have to remember the stories about God. Because human people are human people.
The centurion in bowing down and giving homage to Peter, you think that he may have thought that this could have been the Messiah there in front of him?
No, I don't think so, Jim. I think he was just in awe that he was meeting somebody that had more truth than he did.
Act of gratefulness.
Yes, more truth than he had. Remember, God will send a seeker to the person that has the truth. He's not going to send a seeker to someone that's going to get him off the beaten path. Okay, let's move on because we're running out of time.
Now, that was a period at the end of the poured out even on the Gentiles. And the next message starts with the word for. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God.
Okay. So
that was added.
Yeah, I don't think that's in really. Okay, go to the next one. Is that it for 10?
No.
So I think there's one other verse.
And
over
Peter
it.
Said, yeah. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be
baptized. Do you see the question Peter asked now for the people that's with him? Because this shows in this statement there was still some resistance in the gospel going to these Gentiles. They're amazed that the Holy Spirit falls upon them because after all, we're better than they are. And then finally Peter says, after they rejoice in the Holy Spirit and pray and things like that, he says, now does anybody have any doubt that we can baptize these people?
So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Okay. Now, Gentiles are baptized. Give you a preview of next week. Peter goes back. And guess what the nice Jewish brethren of his home church ask him? Did they get circumcised too? Do you see what happens when legalism comes in? Instead of saying hallelujah, it's well, man, do they fit up to everything they're supposed to fit up to? But that's next week's topic. Any comments?
I like the way that the idea that there's always a way for things to work if it's God's plan. And you know, you think about both the seeker and then Peter and how they came.
That's right. Yeah. God will not let a person who is seeking, God will be faithful and answer that person's prayer. So, you know, our challenge is to know God well enough that we can be a vessel and be used by Him for the people is seeking. It's just like I've always said in my favorite story, in case you just forgot, it's called The Good Father or The Prodigal Son, as you all know it, is what would have happened if the prodigal would have hit the older brother who represented the religious establishment? been disaster. See? So sometimes God sends, you know, people... Well, that's a difference. I better shut up. Okay. Any other comments?
I think it's such a powerful lesson because in every culture, in every country, in gender, in every situation in life, there's this prejudice issue of better or lesser or more powerful.
Yeah.
It's from the individual to the nation.
Yeah. It's just a way of life, and the most important things that God was looking for was a centurion that didn't have anything together theologically, but he loved God and he wanted to further that relationship. And look what God did in his life. Okay. Father in heaven, we're thankful for Acts 10. It's a story of witnessing, but it's a story of how you continually work to reveal yourself, and you've come to us as a group of people and say, oh, how I would love to use you and bring people to you so that they know that they're loved. Help us, Father, in our relationship with you to share with our brothers and sisters the magnificent story of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.